Morning.
Today's daf in Zvachim Sadi Vav. We are on Sadi Hamid Beis. We're starting today at the Mishnah. We are continuing the discussion in the 11th parak regarding the special halachas that relate to carbon chatos. We spent already a considerable amount of time in this parak talking about the mitzvah in the Torah of Kibbutz. If the blood of the carbon chatos lands on clothing, anyone's clothing, as long as it's a baggage, so there's a requirement of Kibbutz. So for the first four blood of the Gemara of this parak, so we talked about the halacha of kibbutz, which blood, which garment, and various details regarding the mitzvah of kibbutz. We are now up to the next halacha in the Torah. The Torah talks about the kelim. If you're cooking the meat of a carbon chatas in a kli, so if it's kli cheres, if it's earthenware, so you have to break it. If it's nechoshes, if it's copper, and presumably when we say copper, we mean all metals. So there's a halacha of mriko shtifa, you have to kasher it. So, and later this morning, we're going to be discussing the basic question, which is, kashering is a halacha that applies to everything. Meaning anytime you're cooking in something in the pot, and you need to expunge the taste from the pot, so you have to kasher it. So what's the special halacha as it relates to a carbon chatos and perhaps other carbonis as well, where there's a halacha mirka shtifa? Stay tuned. Later this morning, we're going to address that question. Although the truth of the matter is Rashi already touches on this point, and I'll cite the Rashi, I'll quote the Rashi, but this is something where the Gemara is going to deal with in much greater detail later on. Okay, so this is our topic of our discussion for today. Let's begin. The Mishnah on Sadi Hey Amud Beis. Echad Shabishabav, Echad Shira Lasocho, Rasech. Doesn't matter whether you cook in a pot, or it does not matter whether you poured into a pot. In other words, it was hot liquid that was poured into a pot, what we call in Halacha Irui, the pouring that goes into a pot. So Echad Kashim Kadoshim, Echad Kashim Kalim. And the Mishnah says that this Halacha also is going to apply whether the carbon is of Kachi Kachim status, which would be chatos and asham. It would not be ola. Carbon ola is not cooked. Carbon ola is burnt on top of the mizbeach. So we're the kachi kachim carbon mentioned over here in the Mishnah is referring to chatos and asham. It doesn't matter if it's kachi kachim. It doesn't matter if it's kachin kalim, which is shlamim. To unim marika v'shtifa, there is this halacha, the special halacha marika v'shtifa, that would apply to all karbanos. Now this position of the Tanakhama and our Mishnah, well, first let me go through the Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachim Kalim ain't to Marika Vishtifa, and Rabbi Shimon says that Kachim Kalim do not have this requirement of Marika Vishtifa. Step by step. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that this halacha applies to all karbanos. Now, if you think about it, really, it's a bit of a chiddush. We'll get to Rabbi Shimon in just a second, but just from the perspective of the Tanakhama, where is this halacha found in the Torah of Mariko Shtifa? It's found in the Parsha of Chatos, meaning it's in Parsha itself. We went through the Pesukim already a number of times. At the end of Perek Vav, at the end of the sixth chapter, so there the Torah talks about these special halachas that apply to a Chatos. Kibbutz, when it comes to the laundering of the blood that went into a garment, that applies only to Chatos. So one could look at these Pesukim and say the same thing should be true regarding this special halacha Mariko Shtifa, that it should apply only to a Chatos. As we will learn later this morning, so the Tanakhama is obviously of the opinion that even though these psukim of Marika Ushtifa are contained in the Parsha of Chatas, but it's universal, it applies to all karbanos, applies to both Kachi Kachim and applies to Kachim Kalim, so that's something just simply to observe, that the psukim are located in the Parsha of Karban Chatas, but the application applies to all karbanos. Now let's go to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that by Kachim Kalim there's no requirement of Mariko Shtifa. So right away, we can ask the obvious question, and Rashi here does. Let's go through the Rashi inside. Rashi, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachim Kalim v'chule, uvigmar mefarsh taima. The Gemara is going to go through the back and forth between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. V'im tomer, Rashi asks over here, Hare habalua nasa nosar, upolto behetel achrasman. So Rashi says, it's hard to understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Let's consider. Every single time you cook a carbon in a pot, right? Carbon, obviously, that you can eat. So what does that mean? It means now the taste of it went into the pot. The taste of any carbon after 1 or 2 days, depending on which carbon it is going to be usser. The isser of carbon after it expired is an isser of nosar. Nosar is an isser daraisa. Furthermore, nosar is an isser kares. So how could it be that there's no requirement to kasher pots when you cook kachim in it, any kind of carbon in it? Of course there's a requirement to kasher it. You don't want the taste of nosar in the pot. Rashi asks exactly this question. Hare habalu anasa nosar polta behetel achrasman. So mode Rabbi Shimon, Debay Hagala Berozkin. So Rabbi Shimon, of course, is going to agree that every time you cook a carbon in a pot, you, of course, you're going to have to kasher the pot. That goes without saying. But Rashi over here, and again, all this is coming up in the Gemara later on, but Rashi over here gives us the preview to the Gemara's answer. When it comes to this halacha, Amrika Ushtifa, it's super koshering. Again, sorry, I make up words. But it's super koshering, meaning in terms of regular koshering, of course you have every pot, it has to go through a regular koshering. But there's a halacha, Amrika Ushtifa. Amrika Ushtifa gives a special requirement of this particular mitzvah, and that's something that, again, according to our Mishnah, applies either to karbanos, or only to kachikashim, only to chatas. So kidim atarzim begemar gabi truma lo nitzrucha lechadam ramar b'mayim v'lo b'yayin b'mayim v'lo b'mazug ha'afilo b'yayin v'afilo b'mazug. And I'll tell you what, meaning we can go through the Rashi now, but later on we're going to go in much greater detail in terms of what's the difference between baseline kashering, which obviously would apply to anything, versus when it comes to this special halacha of Marika Ushtifa that applies to karbanos. And then in the Mishnah, it's just a question of which karbanos does it apply to. According to the Tanakham of our Mishnah, all karbanos, kachikashim and kachim kalim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it only applies to kachikashim, not to kachim kalim. And again, the Gemara is going to discuss where all this comes from. Gemara starts off with the following discussion, Tan Rabbanan, we learned on a brisa. Asher tivu shalbo, ein lo ela shebi shalbo. So far, we know that if I cook a chatas, I'm going to say chatas for this point going forward, because just simply contextually, that's what the Torah is talking about. But again, it's not limited to carbon chatas. We just learned that in the Mishnah. It could apply to all carbonas, according to the Tanakhama, or according to Rabbi Shimon, kachim. But either way, the Torah says, Asher tivu shaba, if I cook the chatas in the pot, ein li ala shabi shaba, that's only if I cook it, ira lasocha rosech minayin. What if I pour hot into it? So Tamalam Rav Asher Tivu Shabba Yishaver. The Torah says Asher Tivu Shabbo. Rashi says emphasis over here on the word bow. Bow means into it. So meaning even if I don't cook in it, but I pour into it, that would be enough in order to have this requirement of these halachas in the Torah. Again, if it's earthenware, break it. If it's metal, if it's copper, so then you have to go through Marika Ushtifa. Some extra koshering requirement. There is a long Tosfos over here. I'm going to skip it, but I'll highlight it. Tosfos over here talks in general about what's the status of Iru Kli Rishon. If I cook a liquid in one pot and I pour it into another pot, that pouring that I do, does that have the status of a Kli Rishon? Does that have the status of a Kli Sheni? Or is it somewhere in the middle? Does it have some sort of middle status? So Tosfos over here, at length, this entire Amud, goes into Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph, discusses what the status of Iru Kli Rishon is, and obviously our Gemara is the launching pad for that discussion. Let's continue in the Gemara. By Rami Bar Chama Tala Ba'avir Tanur Mahu. Okay, rotisserie. Okay, I'm telling you, once I came up with this discovery that the Gemara here is describing a rotisserie, so it's so easy to visualize the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know, let's say in the Beis HaMikdash, we just offered a carbon chatas. Kohanim are going to eat it. How can they eat it? So we learn together, any which way they want. They eat it in the way they enjoy the most. And let's say the Kohanim want to do it now rotisserie. So what does that mean? It means that in the oven, they're not going to have the actual meat touching the pot, but they'll put it on a spit. They'll put it in the oven, and you know, based on my visualization, they're gonna be turning it. So, is there going to be a requirement of koshering the pot if it's rotisserie? And the Gemara over here formulates the question in the following manner. By Rami Bechama, Tala Ba'avir Tanur Mahu, Abishul Ubiluahu Dekapit Rachmana, is it that in order to do the special koshering of Marika Ushtifa, is it that I have two requirements, Bishul, cooking in the pot, and Bilua, and an absorption of the taste in the pot? Meaning if the meat itself is actually on the walls in the pot, touching the walls of the pot, so certainly there's going to be bishul, you're cooking in the pot. And balua means actually the taste went into the walls of the pot, infused into the walls of the pot. Now, just as a parenthetical note, an important note also. When generally speaking, when we talk about the word bishul usually in halacha means cooking in a liquid. Over here, does not, in other words, we're talking about cooking in an oven. So the word bishul over here just has a little bit more of a looser translation. Bishul in this context means just simply that it actually is making physical contact with the walls of the pot. So again, is it that when the Torah requires a special halacha of mirka u'shtifa, or with earthenware, the Torah requires shvira, requires breaking? So is it that I need both bishul and bilua? It has to be cooked in the pot, and also a taste has to go into the pot. Odilma bishul below bilua. Abishul biluhu dekapit rachmana. Odilma abishul below bilua. Or maybe bishul's enough. Meaning, look, right now in this makeshift rotisserie that we're describing right now, even though the meat is not touching the actual walls itself, even though it's within the walls of the pot, but not actually touching the walls of the pot, but maybe that's enough. Maybe that's considered bishul, and therefore there'd be this requirement of, again, earthenware breaking it, copper, mirika u'shtifa. Amarava Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's hear. Echad shebishul bal ve'echad she'ir l'socha roseach. So the Brisa says, the Mishnah says, whether you cook in it, no, it's a Brisa, whether you cook in it, or whether you poured into it, balua below bishul lo kami baila. And the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That Bryce is not speaking to our question. Because that Bryce is talking about where it was balua, meaning I poured into it. So in other words, I didn't cook in it. But in other words, by pouring into it, there's a balia, there's an absorption. We're not asking that question. I know that if there's an absorption of the carbon in the pot, for sure it requires the special koshering. Ki kami bailan, bishul below balua, my. What we want to know is where I'm cooking, but there's no balia, meaning a rotisserie. So Tashma Dam Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravu Atanashal Mikdash Shamatechas Hayam. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that the ovens in the base of Mikdash were made out of metal. Now the Isa Gedacha Bishul Below Bilua. Now we have the words in the Gemara Lo Kapit. The sheet takes those two words out and replaces it with the words mutter. The Isa Gedacha Bishul Below Bilua Mutter. Now if cooking without actual contact is fine, now Vishacheres. So the Gemara says, so why is it that in the base of Mikdash they only made their ovens out of metal? Make it out of earthenware. Oh, we're going to have to break it every time? No, you won't. Meaning what we'll do is we'll instruct any kohen who's going to be using the earthenware oven, hey, don't put the meat actually in the oven itself, meaning touching the walls of the oven. Take a spit, put it over the oven, have it like a rotisserie, and that would be fine. Why? So clearly, by virtue of the fact that they didn't do that, would seem to indicate that even rotisserie would require this breaking. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, look, let's not conclude in one direction. Let's say that if I do a rotisserie in an oven, but the actual meat's not touching the oven, let's say there's no requirement of mirka shifa by metal. Let's say there's no requirement of shvira when it comes to earthenware. Let's say all that. So then why don't they make ovens out of earthenware and just simply allow for a rotisserie? So the Gemara says, because there is also a requirement of the shayari menachos, and the leftover of the mincha, meaning after the kmitza. So what happens with the rest of the mincha is that it's going to be cooked. It's going to be cooked in an oven. And when it's cooked in an oven, it's going to be cooked together with oil. And what's going to happen then is that you have now bishul and belua of the mincha in the oven. There, when it comes to the bread, it cannot be done rotisserie. With the bread has to be coming into contact with the walls. So just simply put, when it comes to an earthenware oven in the base of Mikdash, because there are going to be certain carbonates which have to come into contact with the walls, so there's no avoiding the problem, and therefore ovens in the base of Mikdash were only made of metal, not made out of earthenware. Okay. Where do we stand right now? We have learned together a halach in the Torah where, if I cook a carbon in a pot in the base of Mikdash, so if it's an earthenware, I have to break it. And if it is metal, so you have to go through a special koshering process. So mirka u'shtifa. And again, I keep using the word special. Later this morning, we'll talk about what's so special about it. What makes it so special. And what the Gemara now is entertaining is that for sure we know that if it comes into contact with the walls of the oven, you have to go through these halachas of either breaking or koshering. But what if it doesn't come into contact with the walls of the oven? What if it's just simply within the airspace of the oven, rotisserie style? So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara has not concluded. Okay, we continue. Hahu tanur di atche betachaya. There was an oven where they took animal fat and they smeared animal fat within the walls of the oven. In of itself, that's fine. They grease the oven. They grease the oven with animal fat. Now, animal fat is, in terms of the halachas of basar b'chalav, animal fat's meat. Right? Right. Even though it's not, when we say meat, sometimes we're just referring to the actual muscle itself. But in terms of the halachas of basar b'chalav, So the fat is considered meat. So we grease the lining of the oven with fat, and now a ruling came down by Rabba Bar Ahila, which he says as follows. If you were to bake bread in that oven, so bread baked in that oven now is fleshic bread, and that's a problem. We learn together in the Gemara Pesachim, the Gemara here is about to quote it. We learn together in the Gemara Pesachim that one is not allowed to make fleshic bread and one is not allowed to make milchic bread in of itself. One is not allowed to eat fleshic bread, one is not allowed to eat milchic bread in of itself. Minat Torah, it's totally fine. In other words, fleshic bread, what's wrong with fleshic bread? Minat Torah, it's fine. Milchic bread, it's also fine. The Chachamim were concerned that because we generally assume that bread is parv, so if you're going to bake bread, you have to make it parv. Because the unsuspecting person is going to pick up the bread, not realize that's fleshic bread, and eat it together with milk. Or somebody's going to pick up the milchic bread and eat it together with meat. So therefore, there's a gzera de rabbanan that one's not allowed to eat milchic bread or fleshic bread. That's fine. What is the chiddush over here in our Gemara is that this oven was lined with an animal fat. And what Rabba Bar Yila says is that this oven is forever fleshic. And if any bread from this point going forward is ever cooked in this oven, that bread is always going to be also forever. Now, And even if I'm not going to eat the bread with milk, even if I'm just going to eat the bread with salt, that's still going to be a problem. Because again, like I explained, the concern is that we're going to eat this bread together with cheese. The milchic bread, fleshic bread, is what he's saying is not the issue, meaning everyone agrees to that. The issue is the fact that he said that the oven forever will be fleshic. Forever. That's a long time. And the Gemara says, Meisvei. The Gemara says, I'm going to challenge that because Ein V'im lash kol ha'pas kol ha'asura mim neher gol ha'vera. Kayotze bo'in tashin ha'satonur ba'alya v'im tash kol ha'pas kol ha'asura ad shiyasik es ha'tanur. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Now the Braisa taught us exactly what we just learned together. But with one important ending, which is, if you kasher the oven... Now over here, achi yasik esatanur. Once you fire up the oven, libun, so now the oven becomes kashered. And therefore now the oven, the greased lining of the oven now has been burnt out. The oven now resumes to the status of being parv. And now from this point from going forward, you can cook bread in the oven. It's fine. You can bake bread in the oven. In the Braisa, clearly there's an idea that one could kasher the oven, and that's not like what Rabba Bar Ila says, Tiyufta de Rabba Bar Ahila, Tiyufta. And so the Gemara says, you're right. And his position is in fact refuted. So even though there is an Issa de Rabbana not to make fleshic bread or milchic bread, but there is a possibility to kasher the oven through Liban. Amle Ravin le Ravash v'chimi achar di Isus of Rabba Bar Ila, amai am Rav Kederes bepesach yishaberu. So the Gemara says, so let me ask you a question. We have the pots earthenware pots. And the halacha is that before Pesach, what do we do with our earthenware pots? We are instructed to break them. The Gemara says, why do we break them? Meaning we can kosher them. We just learned together that with the process of Liban, by firing it up, so one could kosher the oven, removing the taste of the grease from the oven. So can we say the same thing regarding any earthenware pot before Pesach? So Amalei Rav Mukilai B'shamateches. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what the pot that we were describing earlier that was being koshered was not an earthenware pot. Maybe the pot that we described earlier was metal. And metal could be koshered, but not earthenware. That's one possibility. Ibai Seima B'tanu Shocheres, or maybe no. Maybe even by an earthenware pot, it can be koshered. Zeh Segemei Mifnim V'zeh Segemei B'chutz. So the Gemara says that there's a difference between firing it up from the inside versus firing it up from the outside. When we're talking about an oven, how do you fire up the oven? You fire it up internally. In other words, you actually create the fire inside. By creating the fire inside, you are generating enough heat, enough fire, so that is libum. You're going to be koshering the pot. So despite the fact that you grease the interior of the heat, but you're also creating a fire to kosher it in the interior. And by doing so, you are totally expunging, not just expunging, well, you are destroying any taste, you're burning any of the taste that's inside of the walls of the pot. Masha Einkein, if all you're going to do is kosher from the outside, so then that's not enough in order to remove the taste, and that's why our kederes before Pesach were instructed to break them. Our earthenware kederes were instructed to break them. Ask the Gemara v'navid ha'sekem v'fnim. So the Gemara says, okay, so if the whole issue is whether we're doing a firing up internally versus externally, and you're telling me that if I do it externally, it's not good enough, fine. So then just take a fire and put it inside of the earthenware pots and pans, before Pesach, and why don't we do libun from the inside, interior, and kasher that way? So the Gemara says no. Chai shalav de mitbrei. So the Gemara says no. The reason why is that in theory it works. The Chachamim were concerned that what's going to happen is that you won't properly do it for fear that it's going to break. And so since the Chachamim were afraid that people will not do Liban properly, so therefore they just simply banned the usage of these pots and pans before Pesach. Hilkach, therefore. Hai Kuvya. Kuvya are some sort of baking tiles. Rashi describes them. A picture over here would be worth more than 1,000 words. Anyway, Rashi describes kuvya re'afim chalulim. They are tiles that are hollow. Kemin shvisas kederes. They look like kind of like mini ovens. Upa'amim shetachem osam shemen va'ofim bo lechem akari tichya. And what happens is that you smear some oil on them and you bake bread. It's some sort of, where I cook the waffles in. It's like a waffle maker, like a skillet. Anyway, hai kuvya, he sikum bechutzu va'aser. The fire comes externally, and therefore it's going to be aser, meaning that we don't. It's not properly kashered. And once there is since it's lined with animal grease, and since it's not properly kashered, so therefore you can't bake bread in such an apparatus. Okay, Ella. Ask the Gemara the following question. So, where do we stand right now? We all just learned together that when it comes to an earthenware oven, so it's possible to kosher it. Meaning, even though we've said time and again throughout Shas that when it comes to earthenware, so earthenware is very porous, when there is an absorption in earthenware, so it's difficult to get impossible to get that which is absorbed out of there. Good, we all learned that together, and numerous times throughout Shas. But we've just now finished Sadi Hamad Beis, and what we have all learned together now is that if I'm doing Libun, not kashering with boiling water, but if I'm doing Libun, so that more than just simply expunges the taste from the walls of the oven, but what that does is it kills it, it destroys it, it totally burns it out. So therefore, there is a possibility of doing Libun when it comes to an oven. Ella. So the Gemara says, if all this is true, so let me ask a basic question. We're now on the top of Sadi Vavam Adalaf. Kiderish al Mikdash Amai, we have the words Amar Rahman, but they're in parentheses. We'll see why in just a moment. Ela Kiderish al Mikdash Amai Yishaberu, Nihadrinu Lekif Shonos. So pots in the base of Mikdash. So why do we have to break them? Meaning, aside from the fact that the Torah says we have to break them. But you'll see in just a moment. I'll explain the Gemara's question better in just a moment. What can we do? Now, Nihadrinu Lekif Shonos, put it back into the kiln. Take it, fire it up again. And again, we learned together that firing it from the outside is no good. But if I create a heat, both exterior and interior, so that's enough to kosher it. So why aren't there earthenware pots in the Mikdash? Rashi over here, we need to see Rashi together. In fact, we will. Rashi over here on the top of the Amud writes as follows. Top of Sadi Vavam Adalaf. Ela Kedir Shem Mikdash Hamayi Shaberu. Hove Islei Takanta. Belibun. Meaning we now know that there is a way of koshering earthenware, and that is libun, firing it up. Ha'ukimna detame mishim baluahi, v'lo abisho kapit kram. The name of Gzeres HaKosavhi. In fact, the reason why the Torah wants us to break it is not because there's something unique and special about breaking it. The reason why the Torah wants us to break it is because of the embedded taste within the walls of these earthenware that cannot be extracted through classic koshering, meaning hot water. But the Gemara now is asking, but libun, let's do libun. Rashi continues. V'lo bishul kapit kra, d'neim egzeres ha-kasavi. U'nehi d'mimishkan k'siv yishaber, l'fi shalo hayu kovim lios, lem kiv shon sarv kli cheres. So the Gemara says now, in the Mishkan, as we were going through the desert for 40 years, and I'm venturing a guess, although I'm not sure if Rashi also is referring to the Mishkan in Shiloh. But in the Mishkan where we were traveling, so there the Torah's instructions were, break the earthenware pots. But Rashi says, I get it. That part I get. Because we're traveling. We don't have the kilns available all the time. But in the base of Mikdash now where we are settled, We make earthenware pots, we have earthenware ovens, but we also have the kilns. So anytime you cook in that oven, can't we just throw it back into the kiln? And can't you just simply fire it up? And wouldn't that be enough? So in other words, the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here, emphasis on the word mikdash, meaning if you look at the top line of the Gemara again, Ela kederi shel mikdash amayisha beru. Now during lekif shonos. And again, just to reiterate Rashi's basic point, the Torah does say you have to break the earthenware pots, but maybe, this is what the Gemara is asking according to Rashi, maybe the Torah tells us to break it because we're going through the desert, we're traveling, we don't have the kilns, we can't fire it up again. But if another solution to the problem of earthenware pots is just simply, I need to extract, I need to get rid of the taste, and in earthenware, classic koshering doesn't work, meaning boiling water, so fine, so don't boil it in water, but put it in the oven and fire it up again. So why don't we do that for the earthenware pots in the Beis HaMikdash? I'm Reb Zera Lefishe in Osten Kivshanus B'Yushalayim. So the Gemara says, because Yerushalayim is not zoned for kilns. Yerushalayim, there's a ban in Yerushalayim that you can't make kivshanus, you can't create furnaces in Yerushalayim. And the reason why is because Yerushalayim, we want it to be not an industrial zone. Right, correct. Environmentalists. Right? So they want Yerushalayim to be a furnace free zone, and so therefore as a ban. So basically what the Gemara is saying is, in theory it works, but there's a consideration, there's an environmental consideration in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is just simply not zoned for furnaces.
Furnaces that are metal.
Wait. So lefisha in osten kishon spirishlim. So I'm Rabbi Vichy osten ashpasos balzara. So the Gemara says, okay. So look, for every piece of legislation, there's an aimed goal, and there's also going to be collateral consequences. So great. So you're telling me that in order to protect Yerushalayim, so they ban furnaces from being made in Yerushalayim. Okay, great. So now every time there's earthenware in the Beis HaMikdash, so you know what that means now? It means that you're cooking it and you got to break it. And so basically now, what's Yerushalayim going to be? So it's going to be a trash heap. In other words, broken pieces of shard everywhere. So the Gemara says v'chi osen hashpatzos ba'azara. So now the azara is going to turn into a garbage dump. Because you don't want to make kilns, you don't want to make furnaces in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, "Ishtamita tahad nishmaya bekal nabo shivrik lecheres nivlam bimkaman." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but you did forget the following brisa, didn't you? That was taught by Shmaya in Kal Nabo. Kal Nabo is the name of the place that shivrik lecheres, that the broken pieces of lecheres nivlam bimkaman. So one of the miracles that takes place in the Beis HaMikdash is that when the earthenware pots are destroyed." And the pieces don't just simply sit on the ground, but they absorb into the ground. I know we generally say in Simcha Nalanes, we don't rely on miracles, but the Gemara says, but that's the tradition that we have. So the Gemara says, okay. Now Rav Nachman taught us that the ovens in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of metal. So the Gemara says, but why don't we make the ovens out of earthenware? And again, it's an oven now. And the fire is fired up from the inside. We have learned over the course of this morning that firing it from the inside creates interior libun. Interior libun is a proper method of koshering. It does remove the taste. Again, not just remove. Right? I keep correcting myself, but it's an important correction. It doesn't just remove the taste. It destroys the taste. So the decheres deisikim mibnefnimu. Dekevim deikish deyalechem lechem apanim. Daf yasam betanur. Kedushasam betanur. Havle klisharis. V'klisharis decheres lo avdinan. So the Gemara says, well, yes. Again, in theory, that would work. Meaning you could make earthenware ovens in the Beis HaMikdash. But practically speaking, we don't do that. And the reason why is as follows. Because weekly for the Lechem Aponim and annually on Shavuos for the Shtei Alechem, so these are things that are baked in ovens. And this is the first time for both the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem that they're introduced into a Kli Sharis. Meaning there is no prior preparation for these Menachos in other Kli Sharis. So this is the first time that they're introduced into a Kli Sharis. So, interestingly enough and oddly enough, when it comes to other menachos, it's introduced into another Kli Sharis. So if it's baked in a non-Kli Sharis oven, well, that's fine. Because it already was invested with the Kedushas Aguf by being prepared in another Kli Sharis. But the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem, for reasons, take a look at the bottom Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now, for reasons that are a little bit detailed, but this is the first time they're introduced into a Kli Sharis. And we don't make a Kli Sharis out of earthenware. If it was just an oven and baking, that's in of itself fine. And as we just learned together, we can kosher ovens. In other words, by doing interior libun, we can kosher ovens. It's just as another technical issue that this is the first time they're introduced into a kli shavus. The afilu, and we're now on the top of 25 on the days. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kamar ela de eitz aval de cheres lo. There is a gemara in the fifth parak of Sukkah that discusses what do we make kli shavus out of? Metal, maybe wood, debatable, but certainly not earthenware. We don't make a kli shavus out of earthenware. Everyone's in agreement to that. Even Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient and allows kli shavus to make mat out of wood. But that's only wood, but not earthenware. Okay, period. Adkan. Okay, so over the course of the Gemara today, so far we have really hit on a lot of basic issues regarding the koshering of an oven. We're talking about libun. Libun is a method of koshering where it not only expunges and removes the taste, but it actually destroys it. Libun would work not only for metal, but libun would work for earthenware as well. It has to be interior, it can't be exterior. And so the Gemara says, so when we're talking about things like ovens where it is, where the libun is done interior, so it should be able now to totally, libun is able to destroy the taste therein. And the Gemara says, yes, but still, we don't use an earthenware oven in the Beis HaMikdash for numerous considerations. A, Yerushalayim is zoned, where you can't have furnaces in Yerushalayim, and so therefore there's no way to just simply throw the earthenware back into the kiln, back into the furnace. And two, even by an oven where we're actually making the fire inside, still you can't make earthenware ovens in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Gemara, because there are menachos that are going to be first introduced into a kli shavus in an oven, and we don't make a kli shavus out of earthenware. We're now on the top of Tzadivav Amud Beis, and Gemara tells us the following. A defection of a Talmud from one Rebbe to another Rebbe. Okay. You're going to see feelings are hurt. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda have a ragu kamei de Rami Bar Chama. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to be a student by Rami Bar Chama. Shafkei, v'azal Rav Sheshes. He leaves his Rebbe Rami Bar Chama. He goes now to a new Rebbe. He goes to Rav Sheshes. Yumachad Pagabei. And so one day now, Rav Yitzchak meets his old Rebbe. And as you can imagine, so it's a sensitive moment, and feelings were for sure hurt. Amar Lei, A'la Kafta Naktan Recha, Ase la liyad. Mishum da azalta chalacham de Rav Sheshes havlech ki Rav Sheshes. So Rashi over here says that this is really an expression. Rashi over here says, you know, people, they want to grow in stature, they have a big ego, so they hang around politically important people. Nothing much has changed in the last couple thousand years. So, okay. So in other words, some people do that. People with egos who want to inflate their ego, so they hang out with important people in order to make themselves feel better. And I know this is going to be strong. I know. And he basically accuses his old student of, oh, I see. You want to hang with the Rav Sheshes. You want to be closer to the Rav Sheshes. Give yourself some more importance. That's why you left me. So Amar Le Lav Mishum Hachi. So Rav Yitzchak says to his old Rebbe, Rami Bar Chama. No, it's not about that. I'll explain to you why I left you. Lav Mishum Hachi. Look, when I used to learn by you, so here's what used to happen. I ask you a question, you think about it, and you give me an answer based on an argument. Svara. Now, ki mashkana masnisa parachtala. However, now, if I go to my warehouse of Mishnayos and Braisos, and I ask you a question from either a Mishnah or a Braisa, so your Svara is wonderful, but the Mishnah doesn't say it, the Braisa doesn't say it, and so I challenge you and refute you based on the braces. Rav Sheshes ki beina milsa minei pashal leim masnisa dechinam mishkacha masnisa parcha masnisa. Masnisa masnisa hi. However, Rav Sheshes happens to be knowledgeable, fully knowledgeable of numerous mishnayos. Let's say all the mishnayos and numerous braces. And so, whenever I ask Rav Sheshes a question, so he answers me, but he sources his answers. He gives me an answer from a Mishnah. He gives me an answer from a Braisa. Mm-hmm. And even if I conjure up a nut, not conjure up, wrong language. And even if I bring in another Braisa. So, but okay, that's fine. So in other words, but he has a Braisa. So he has a Braisa, I have a Braisa. So, but at least his position is going to be sourced. So basically what he accuses his old Rebbe, Rami Bar Chama, of doing is too much Svara. Not enough source material. And I'm looking for a Rebbe, I'm looking for Rav Sheshet who is steeped in source material. So that when he answers the question, it's not just a Svara, he sources it based on Mishnayos and Braisos. Okay, so basically, what he's trying to explain to his old Rebbe is, I was looking for a different way of learning. Right? One that is more based on sources. All right, so Rami Bar Chama says, well, let's try this again. And this is so par for the course of the Gemara, where basically, let's test this out, and it's going to come out that the Talmud is right. Meaning, Rami Bar Chama is basically doing what he's accused of doing, and that is answering questions based on Svara, and not so much based on source material. So, So he asked him the following question. So now, obviously, all the story comes to us because the question now that he's going to ask his old Rebbe is relevant to our discussion. Bishop Amixas Kliton Mariko Vishifa O Eintown. Let's say I cook a carbon in a pot in the Beis HaMikdash, but only part of the pot is being used. So in other words, it's not a lot of meat that's being cooked in a pot, just a small little piece, and I put it in one area in the pot. And for sure that one area in the pot is going to need koshering. That goes without saying. It's going to require Mariko Ushtifa. However, is the entire pot going to also need koshering as well? Or just do I have to spot treat it in that one area? Ainotan. So the answer of his old Rebbe, Rami Bar Chama, is you don't have to kosher the entire pot. So the halotana hachi. It's no different than the blood splattering on the clothing. Didn't we learn in the Braisa? Amrlei mistarba kibegin. Ma begin ain't ton kibus, ela makum hadam, afkli ain't ton marika vashifa, ela ba makum bishal. Look, didn't we learn earlier in this parak, in the 11th parak of Zvachim, that when blood goes on a beged, you don't have to do a launder the entire beged. You just simply spot treat the area where the blood is on, launder that one particular area, and the rest of it you don't have to launder. So isn't the same thing regarding Mariko Shtifa? So the old student says to his old Rebbe, me dummy. I don't know how that's a comparison. So dam lo mefafeya. When blood goes into a garment, so the blood doesn't spread out to the rest of the garment. The blood stays, generally speaking, localized in that one area. However, when I am cooking in a pot, so I can easily envision the meat and the fat of the meat spreading out through the pot. So bishul mefafeya, and that's what happens when I'm cooking. It spreads out. Va'od. So first of all, even your svara I don't like, says the student to his old Rebbe Rami Bar Chama. And not only do I not like your svara, I have a braisa. Va'od tanya. And par for the course of this Gemara, it is just perfect now that in one of the ways he's refuting his old Rebbe is by citing a braisa. We learned in the braisa, chomer ba'aza memerika v'shifa v'chomer memerika v'shifa ba'aza. So here in the braisa, we are comparing and contrasting the differences between the requirement of laundering a blood out of a garment and the requirement of expunging the taste out of a pot. So, chomer ba'aza memerika v'shifa v'chomer memerika v'shifa me'aza. Chomer ba'aza. So as far as the stringency of sprinkling is concerned, shazal yeshna b'chatos, achitzon b'chatos apenimos. In terms of removing blood from a garment, it does not matter whether the blood is coming from the chatos achitzona, the outer chatos, or the inner chatos, as we already established earlier in this parak. V'yeshna lifnei zrika, and also the requirement to expunge, to launder the blood out of a garment is even before sprinkling. Masha'en kim b'merika v'shifa. And that's not true regarding merika v'shifa, meaning neither of these points are true by merika v'shifa. It does not apply to the inner chatas, and it does not apply before zrika. Chomer merika v'shifa sha merika v'shifa na'agas bein b'kachim kachim bein b'kachim kalim. Also, stringencies that apply to merika v'shifa, it applies to all carbonas. It's not limited to a carbon chatas. Obviously, this braisa follows the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah that we started with this morning. It is by all carbonos. Bishul b'mikzas akli ta merika v'shifa kol akli mashen kein b'haza. And the second chomer that you have by merika v'shifa is that if I cook only in part of the pot, I have a requirement to kasher the entire pot, and that's not true regarding the sprinkling of blood. So, to which now the braisa says very clearly, no ambiguity, that the requirement to kasher a pot is even if I cook only in part of the pot, I have to kasher the entire pot. Amar lei tanya. To which Rami Bar Chama, the old Rebbe, says to his old student, If you have a brisa, what can I tell you? We have a brisa. The time am I? I'm a krav. The imbeklin echoshes bushala. The Torah and we can actually learn this from the pasuk itself. The pasuk says the imbeklin echoshes in a klin echoshes. It's cooked. Vafil b'mixas kli, meaning even if it's only cooked in part of the kli, there's a requirement to kasher the entire kli. Okay, we're going to pause over here. I know we have a little bit more to before we get to the next mishnah. Upcoming. Marika Ushtifa, right? This is where we started with this morning, and we're going to continue. We'll continue tomorrow morning. We have just learned together that when I cook carbonos in a pot, in order to extract, to expunge the nosar, so I have to kasher it through Marika Ushtifa, which is basically hagala. It's boiling water inside of it. What we're going to ask the question, and we're going to answer, starting the beginning tomorrow morning, is this is true not only by carbonos. Anytime I have something that which is usar in a pot, and I want to extract and expunge it, I have to kasher it. I have to do hagala. I have to boil water in the pot. Why is the Torah over here giving us some sort of super requirement to Marika Ushtifa as it relates to carbonos that are being cooked in the pot? How is that different than regular hagala? So stay tuned. We're going to ask and answer the question tomorrow.